Welcome to Theology Thursday, an ecumenical space for students to discuss matters of faith and theology. I'm your host, Connor Grubbs. Unfortunately, Ryan and Johnny are not able to join us this week. Johnny is on vacation, and Ryan just wasn't able to make it for tonight's episode. But I did welcome back two previous guests that were here just a couple weeks ago, Caitlin and Kay.
Woo! Yeah.
Welcome back. I can't believe I did this. It was probably a mistake. Yeah. And for the first time ever.
Yeah, here we are.
For the first time ever. We have Luke Biebelhauser on the show.
Hello.
Luke,
I'm honored.
Yeah, well, welcome. Luke has been crying himself to sleep every night that I have not allowed him on the podcast.
It's true.
And he's finally here. Like, this is a dream of his. He's like our number one fan. He listens to every episode.
That's right. Every episode.
I actually think he's your number one fan.
That's really cool. He deserves to be
here. He's the only listener we have. So,
I don't know.
And this week he's going to be listening to himself. So,
yay. Luke, that's cool.
Amen.
That's cool.
So, Luke, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, man. Well, I am born and raised in St. Petersburg, Florida. I go to Southeastern University. We're going that far back.
Starting at the beginning.
I go to Southeastern in Lakeland.
Go ahead.
Keep going.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say.
Your interest for the future.
And
so, yeah, I'm majoring in practical ministry. I just want to serve the Lord, hopefully one day with my good buddy Connor, but we'll see.
We'll see.
But yeah,
all right,
I just have a heart to see people come to know Jesus, and I feel called to St. Pete too. So,
wow.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, it's been really awesome becoming friends with you over the past few months, and it's funny, and hopefully we'll get to talk about this on the podcast eventually, how similar our stories are, and how God has kind of shaped us into the ministry that he's leading us towards, and even that we're in now in this season. So really happy to have you on the podcast. And this Thursday, it's Singles Awareness Day, so happy Single Awareness
Day.
What? Singles Awareness Day. Valentine's Day.
Singles Awareness.
So we're going to talk a little bit. I have this wonderful panel. Luke and Caitlin have been dating for how long?
3 years.
Woo-hoo. The worst 3 years of Caitlin's life. I can tell by the look on their face.
They love each other.
No. We play.
She plays.
Arden.
Too much.
And, unfortunately, Kay's husband's not able to join us for tonight's episode. But how long have you been married, Kay?
Almost a year.
Yay.
We're still alive.
Congratulations. Thank you. You're still alive.
I'm sorry.
And then I have absolutely no insight to offer, but we're going to get to hear a couple things from them about kind of relationships and how to do that in a godly manner. But first, since it is Theology Thursday, and we love church history here on Theology Thursday, and this is what I wish Ryan was here for, we're going to talk about why Valentine's Day is a thing. It's been a while since we've done like church history, like really digging into something like this, so I'm excited about this. So how familiar are y'all with St. Valentine? The person this holiday is named
in the
after.
Diaper with the arrows.
A lot of people think there's a Cupid in the diaper with the arrows.
Yeah.
And they're shooting an arrow in the diaper. What? And there's little candy hearts that
in
got discontinued.
Yeah.
Those are hard to find nowadays.
That's because they discontinued them. No, like legitimately.
What discontinued means.
Yeah, they're not. They don't sell them or make them anymore.
They're not good.
They're nasty.
The orange one's pretty good.
Well, they all taste the same. They're not different flavors. Okay. Anyway. I've had this debate about Skittles before, too. Are they actually different flavors?
Yes.
Completely off topic. Need to say this.
Okay.
Okay. The mystery Airhead flavor is not a mystery flavor.
It's the watermelon.
It's its own flavor. Mm. Boom.
But they won't tell you what it is, so it's still a mystery.
No, it's the mystery.
Yeah, I always
it's
get
not
the mystery
actually a mystery.
Why?
The mystery is that it is its own flavor, and the white mystery is a flavor in and of itself.
I agree. I can
however
agree with
you
that.
Want to say that.
Okay, keep going.
I agree.
Okay, I'm glad you agree. All right. Well, that name, Valentine, is actually the name of a person. He was a Roman priest at the time that there was an emperor named Claudius. Now, Claudius.
Oh!
I said there was an emperor named Claudius, and period. Now, Claudius.
No.
That was what I was saying. Luke was listening. Thank you, Luke.
Golly. What in the world?
All right, here we go. Nicodemus was the emperor at the time, and he persecuted Christians. And so this was a time of extreme persecution for the Christians. And one of the edicts that he put in place was that young people, this is a law, and I'm having to define a lot of terms.
He took one look at Kay's face and said, it's a law.
This was a law that prohibited marriage, particularly for young people. And one of the reasons he did this, and this is really interesting, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this on today's episode, is because I think what was going on at that time is really relevant to what's going on today. He didn't think marriage was necessary because polygamy and all these different things were very common. It was just kind of be who with whoever you want to be with, and doesn't really matter in the state of the empire, the Roman Empire.
So it was like today.
Yeah. And the fact is, years later, same thing's still happening. Nobody's making marriage illegal, but it's not seen as important anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. And the idea also was that they thought that unmarried soldiers fought better than men who had families. So that was kind of the idea. But then these unmarried soldiers would come back from war and be very promiscuous and just kind of do whatever they want. So what's amazing about St. Valentine is he would fight against, obviously, all the persecution that was going on. So the church was still obviously very committed to this idea of one man, one woman. And St. Valentine would actually do secret weddings for young couples.
That's like jumping the broom.
And so it was really incredible because he would do this in hiding, obviously against the authority of the government, and he would encourage these young couples to get married and explain to them why it was important. Like, he was giving them a why in a society of all these different, you know, where polygamy was very common, and it was just all over the place. And so eventually he was caught, and he was in prison, and he was tortured for doing these secret wedding ceremonies. And there are a lot of legends surrounding his time in prison. Some say that miracles were performed, and there were multiple prison guards and judges that actually came to know Christ during his time in prison, because he never wavered in his faith. And eventually he was sentenced to a three-part execution. He was beaten, he was stoned, and finally he was decapitated. And all of this because of one thing that he stood up for. And it was the gospel, but it was specifically his emphasis that he felt called to was Christian marriage. A biblical worldview on marriage. And that's why I think his story is so important today, because even when it wasn't popular and even when there was consequences, he stood up for a biblical view of marriage. And this is where the, you know, will you be my Valentine thing comes from. He wrote a letter to one of the young women that he had married, that what kind of is one of his success stories, you could say, from his ministry. And he wrote this letter to her that said, "From your Valentine." And that was the last written thing we have from him before he died. So I think we should be encouraged by his story to take courage and stand for what we believe as far as a traditional, you know, view of marriage, a biblical view of marriage, I should say.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there are going to be consequences, and it's not popular, but right now, none of us have to be afraid of being, like, stoned or decapitated for taking a stand for Christian marriage. So how much, if the Holy Spirit was able to give him the courage and the boldness to do what he did to the point of death, we don't have to worry about those kinds of consequences. So let's go for it. Like, that's kind of what I got out of it.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing story. So, the Catholic Church now sees him as the patron saint of love. And so, you know, a lot of people don't realize that that's the story behind Valentine's. That's where that all comes from. So there you go, some church history from Theology Thursday.
It's cool, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, now you do. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, anything that sticks out in particular about that story? You know what? No, before we move forward, I think more importantly, what is a biblical view of marriage? Because a lot of people might define that a little differently. They might interpret that different ways. Luke, you're the student of SEU. What have they taught you? What's the biblical view of marriage?
Man, well...
No, don't tell us what SEU taught you. Tell us what the Bible
taught right,
us.
Right.
Correction.
Well, let's just start with the obvious basic. It's between one man and one woman.
I think something that I heard once was that, like, it's in a godly marriage, your relationship, like, it's a triangle. So, like, it's between you, that other person, and God. Like, God has to be the point, the center of that relationship for that to look the way it's supposed to.
Right. And the Bible certainly paints a picture. And, oh, man, we could really get, I don't know how detailed I should go into this, but, like, the Bible paints a picture that marriage is a sacred covenant that is not made, you know, in light of the state between this man and this woman, because when we make covenants with each other, we fail. Mm-hmm. This is a covenant made between this couple and God.
Right.
So it's something a lot more sacred than what the state can say, married or not married. Yeah. Like, and the Bible kind of explains, you know, where that all lands and what makes that official. But so we can get into this, is that as far as the confines that, and this is the main reason that people don't take marriage seriously, is because they want to be able to do what they will with sex, have it who they want to have it with, and not keep it within that covenant, that sacred covenant. But it's there for a reason,
right.
And as Christians, we know that there's like a spiritual component to that.
Yeah,
right. And I think that's super important.
Yeah, I kind of got awkward there, but like I say all that because we see in the Bible, like it's literally laid out, and I think we try to overcomplicate it sometimes. But it's between one man and one woman, and having God at the head and at the center of that relationship, and you know we but that's just. Not to get too controversial here, but that's just the way that Scripture and that and how the Lord lays it out. And I think a lot of times we let other factors, or either probably more often we let the temptations of the world kind of trying to define that for us. And you know what's fun isn't necessarily what's beneficial for us for sure.
Right, and it's so important to take a stand because there are a lot of Christians nowadays and prominent evangelical leaders that are kind of stepping back because they don't want society to not respect them or listen to them because of what they're saying. And an example that just came out today actually is Chris Pratt has been very vocal about his faith, and in recent months even more vocal about his faith. He was on Stephen Colbert recently talking about how he did the Daniel diet with his pastor and all these things, and it's cool to see that. So now he's built this platform where all of Hollywood and a lot of people who are fans of Chris Pratt look to him to, oh, what do Christians believe? Yeah. And it's scary when that's kind of, because for people who aren't believers, they don't realize, oh, we're not putting our faith in a person or in the church, we're putting our faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
So sometimes, like, when that's the only version of Jesus they see, they can be misled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody, after, you know, Chris Pratt talked about his church, you know, on TV, a lesbian actress came out to talk about, wait, your church doesn't accept the LGBT community.
Yeah.
And Chris Pratt's response was to say, oh, well, my church is very welcoming, and it's everybody's entitled to love who they want.
Yeah.
And here he is as a Christian with this platform, and he caved when he was put under pressure.
Right.
To kind of what the world has to say about it. That's not to say, like, Chris Pratt's the final authority on any of that. What I'm saying is, it's not the popular thing. The
right.
biblical view on marriage is not the popular thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's important that we, like, take a stand for that view.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think we see that more prevalent, too. That's one of the hottest topics, I think, today, that someone will kind of pound a popular Christian artist or, mm-hmm. or Christian person, because, I mean, a similar story happened with Lauren Daigle.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. So it's
a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
So it happens, and it's going to happen with us. I mean, yeah. like, there are going to be people who ask, and sometimes they're going to get really heated about it, and it's like, right. you know, how do we handle these conversations?
Yeah.
And I think part of that, and it's not something we can unpack in a 30-minute podcast, you know, all of it, you know, right at once, but something that's really important is that I always say is to know your why. And because mm-hmm. if you grow up in the church, it's like, okay, don't have sex till you get married, and it's one man and one woman, and all these rules that are there and that are important, mm-hmm. but so often we don't hear the why.
Yeah.
Why are they there?
Right.
And the Bible explains why. Like, this is the better way to go because of this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And no, God doesn't hate sex. He invented it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. there's parameters for a reason. And so I think knowing your why is so important. And again, we're not going to be able to explain the why all in this one episode. But, like, look for yourself. There's a book called Song of Solomon, like, I can recommend Matt Chandler's series, Mingling of Souls, where he goes and explains, like, in context, because if you just read it by itself, you're like, this is weird stuff, but it's really good what it has to say.
Yeah.
So find resources. There's people out there that have far more expertise than I do, who can really, like, guide you along these things. And we'll link even some of that stuff in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
So... any advice you can give? We have a lot of young listeners about godly relationships. I have a couple specific questions first. These were from our Instagram story.
Oh, yeah.
So the first one was from somebody. I actually had the pleasure of being the best man for this young lady's husband at their wedding. And her husband is a very smelly man. So she asked the question, why are boys so smelly? That was, we opened the floor, what are your relationship questions? And that was the only thing she could ask. And I don't blame her. David, if you're listening to this podcast, I love you. I hope you've learned how to wear deodorant.
No.
So, And I was like, we were talking about this beforehand. I was like, that's not a genuine relationship question. But the ladies argue that maybe it is. So,
I think so.
Can I tie it into something else that kind of like goes hand in hand with that?
Sure.
Okay. So, never. So, I'm married, and my husband recently...
He's murred.
He says, babe, I want to talk to you about something, and I don't want you to get mad. So, naturally...
That's always the key for...
Men! Oh, my...
Can you not get mad?
You don't need to do that. So, naturally, I'm kind of getting mad just the fact that he had to say that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so 5 minutes later,
I'm
after, like,
notes now.
Yeah, after, like, deep, intense staring and, like, me grilling him and be like, what is it? He's like, babe, I just want to know if you can, like, dress more girly sometimes. And he did that, like, little, like, cringe when he said it. And I was like, what's girly to you? You know what I mean? Huh. And he's like, well,
you're the
maybe...
expert on girly, so please tell me.
Exactly. Maybe a few more dresses. But the reason I said that kind of goes hand in hand is because, like, okay, so here's what I realized about men after being married.
They're smelly. Y'all do this thing, right?
Where men, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, when you get with a guy and then you have a complaint, they think, well, you got with me like this. Am I wrong? That's been my experience.
Like,
not me personally, I'll say. But
we ain't talking about people like you.
Yeah,
you're a nice guy.
I've never had anybody point out flaws that I have, so it's like,
what?
You're
kidding me.
No, I can. You're not dumb. I can see that being a common answer.
Well, the reason I said that is because, like, okay, if you get with a guy that has, like, really strong BO, why would he think, like, oh, I need to, like, make sure I'm fresh all the time, like?
That's,
you know,
like,
what I mean?
I showed Kay a meme today, and it said, if you think you're going to change your man, I hope he's wearing diapers.
Yeah, like, it's...
Oh,
like,
yeah, I saw
it
that.
It doesn't necessarily work like that.
Looks like, oh, no.
Yeah, like, I guess the medical answer is men have more testosterone, and sometimes they tend to... I feel like women, personally, I feel like we're taught, like, hygiene very early.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, y'all aren't taught most things until it starts to sneak.
Until
like,
it's bad.
You smell, yeah.
It's and not we usually end up teaching ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, ooh, deodorant.
Men, like, unless we had a good mom around. Yeah.
Love you, mom.
But moms are like... Girl.
Good mom.
Girl,
yeah. My mom would not let me leave the house today without
love you,
smelling
mom.
Good. Love you, mom. Thank you.
Good mom.
You're welcome, Caitlin.
Too. Yeah, she's
thanks, mom.
No, and I will say, you know, I made a joke earlier. There's plenty of flaws that have been pointed out, but my smell has never been one of them. I've actually always been complimented on the fact that I smell good at all times. It's so just a skill that
ladies,
I have.
Ladies, if you're single, Connor smells good.
Yeah,
mine actually. I smell good at all times. It's just. What was the next question? We had a question from Mac.
I love you, Mac.
Mac, we all love you.
Mac will be on the podcast someday, too. We've been talking about that. And also, Mac, I want to be just like you when I grow up.
Me too.
You are my hero. So here we go. Mac to the future had a very good question. And it was, how does our relationship with God relate to our relationship with our significant other?
Wow.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. How does it relate? Well, I think it's kind of like, you know what love is because God has exampled that love for us and Jesus has shown us what love is. So I think it's important to, like, you know, I wouldn't say compare because nobody can love you more than Jesus can and nobody can, like, treat you better than Jesus has. But it is important to look for someone who wants to try to love you in that same kind of love.
Yeah. Mm. I think that it absolutely 100% relates in the most significant way possible. And when I say that, like, I would be as bold to say that you will never find a successful relationship this side of heaven if you do not know who your God is and if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, the foundation will just not be set. It just won't be there.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, he's preaching now.
But it's like, I've seen it in our relationship, Caitlin and I, like, it really took me, just to get deep here for a second, it really took me pouring all that I have into my relationship with Jesus in order for this to work out for the 3 years that it has. And that's where all the glory belongs, is to the Lord. So.
Just to piggyback off what Luke said, a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God, is exactly that. And after being married for such a short time, but it feeling like such a long time, like, it takes 1,000% of everything that you have, and it takes you, it takes you just really going to God about everything, you know, in a marriage.
Yeah.
Unlike, like, okay, I know when you're in a committed relationship, like, when you're committed, you're committed.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you could essentially leave whenever you want.
Yeah.
When you're married and you, like, I mean, you're mad and maybe you even have a right to be, and maybe you're like, your reasons are completely justifiable. Like, people don't know how you do it or whatever the situation is. You, like, have to love that person. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm going to block your number.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk. It's like, we got to get this together. We have a covenant. Like, God has, we've made a covenant between God, and now he's in the midst of this, and we have to honor our commitment to him.
Yeah.
So it's like, even when I don't feel like, but like, even when I don't want to push my pride aside and come to you and talk to you about things or whatever, it's like, the pressure is on, man. It's not
for sure.
It's really different.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, and I think the most important thing when it comes to how our relationship with God relates to our relationship with our significant other is that our ultimate satisfaction needs to be found in our relationship with God before we can love that other person properly. Because if we're looking for ultimate fulfillment, identity, satisfaction in that relationship, there are going to be times and seasons where we don't find it.
Right.
And that's when we're going to want to bail. But if our ultimate satisfaction, fulfillment, identity is in Jesus Christ, then we're able to stay strong in those seasons, not based on that relationship, but based on the one that really matters. And I'm only saying this based on things I've heard from older, wiser people and what I've read in the Bible. But I think those are two pretty reliable sources, absolutely. Especially the second one. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. I don't want to talk too much on this topic because I don't have much to offer. But that's really important, is that your ultimate satisfaction is found in Jesus first.
Mm. Yeah. I'm not even going to lie. I've looked at my husband at times, like, you know, in the heat of the moment, I'm like, you better be glad I know Jesus. And I know, like, we're laughing and everything, but no, like, I meant it. Like, because I know him, like, it's, you know what it's like to be in the world. And, like, for me, like, man, I was a runner and I would self-sabotage relationships. So now having a personal relationship with God has really been the thing that I feel like has even just gotten us just over the hurdles that we have had and just kind of staying close to him as the vine, so.
Yeah, amen. For sure. I really enjoyed what Connor was saying about, like, being satisfied in Christ.
Thank you.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. I'm surprised. Anyways. Okay. Just kidding. But we just went to, like, kind of like a lecture kind of thing over at Luke's school with this man called, named...
what did they call this man?
Simon called Peter. Right. His name was Cy Rogers, and he did, like, an hour talk on sexuality. Mm-hmm. And
that's a long talk.
Yeah, it was a good one. I could have had more, too. He was killing the game. And he used a phrase kind of just about sexuality and about that, and he said, like, you don't have to be exploitable to be valuable. Mm-hmm. And so that was, like, that really stuck with me because it was so true. And, like, in your relationship, like, you don't have to like, offer these things to be valuable in your relationship. And if you're satisfied in Christ, then you're going to understand that in your own relationship, too. Yeah. So.
He's definitely anointed from the Lord, too, to speak on these things as far as human sexuality and how we balance, right, who we've been created to be biologically, psychologically, and spiritually in that relationship with Jesus. So if we could put that in the notes or even just put a disclaimer here, he has a website, cyrogers.com, but he's definitely a really valuable source for sure.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And really that's the main thing I hope people get out of the episode is, like, go and study this topic because... I don't know, for me, I grew up in a Christian home, grew up in the church, and I heard all these things, but I never really understood it for myself on a deeper level until I had already made some pretty big mistakes. So go to the Word, go to these other pastors and theologians that are putting out great resources on there to help you understand the Word, test it by the Spirit, pray through it, don't just take everything, you know, for what it is, but... study this for yourself. Really, really dive deep.
Yeah.
Because you got to know your why. You can't just follow bunch of rules if you don't know your why. Because that's what's going to motivate you to stick with it when it gets hard.
Yeah. It always gets hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't say if, you know?
Yeah, right.
When it gets hard.
Keyword when.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just not even just talking about being in a relationship. I'm talking about even before you're in a relationship, the temptations that are around you. You gotta know your why to keep making the right choices. And then the other thing I want to stress too, because this is so important. Maybe you're listening and you're like, "But I've already messed up."
That's all right.
Is there's grace?
Yeah.
And that's, like, the amazing thing is there's a couple stories in the Gospels. One of them being the woman at the well, where Jesus calls out this woman for this life she'd been living, you know, having had a bunch of husbands and staying with a man that wasn't her husband, all this stuff, like, and kind of been ostracized by her community because of her relationship history. And Jesus calls it out for what it is and tells her that there's a better way, but there's grace there. There's this amazing grace there too. And and then the other story that sticks out to me is from the Gospel of John, where this woman is caught committing adultery, and she's dragged out naked into the field, and they're about to stone her. And Jesus comes up and says, you know, let the first one who is without sin cast the stone. And the passage literally talks about Jesus. Here she is, you know, bloodied up. She's been dragged out by sitting on the ground, naked, ashamed. I mean, imagine, you know, up to this point, maybe she'd been doing it in hiding. She's finally been caught. You can't even imagine what she was feeling. And Jesus literally, with his hands, lifts up her face, gets on eye level with her and says, "Your sins are forgiven."
Yeah. Wow.
So I don't want anybody to like be listening to this and thinking, "Oh, I've already messed up. It's too late for me." Because that's what I hear so much. It's too late. I've already messed up. And we can use that to justify. So why not keep messing up? Mm-hmm. Like, it's too late to go back. And look, when you do things outside of the way that God designed it when it comes to your romantic relationship, there's consequences. Mm-hmm. Some of them long-term. Some of them lifelong-term.
I got two kids.
But
lifelong.
There's grace. God can take those things and redeem them.
Yeah,
amen. You know, and that doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
Yeah,
by any means, but it is possible.
Yeah.
So
that's a really good word. I think a lot of people need to hear that.
Yeah,
I'm glad you brought that up because I know, at least speaking for me personally, like I've definitely felt that before. I'm like, wow, I messed up, and even like getting more specific to this and even deeper is like, even if you are in Christ and you do continue to mess up, like you are not made to be perfect, right? Like that, this is a little deeper of a topic, but like we are in a sinful world and in a sinful nature, and one thing that we need to keep in mind, I think, is that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But only in Christ Jesus. We deserve the condemnation, we deserve the judgment, but in Christ there is none of that. And so that doesn't mean we get to abuse that grace or abuse that beautiful truth, but it's to say that, like Connor was saying, don't give up, like keep pressing on, because in Christ you are a new creation.
Yeah. So. Something funny that I learned a long time ago that someone said, it was like, you know how Jesus gives us free will? How we'll be like, help me to resist this temptation or whatever. And at the end of the day, because we have free will, if you know that the tempter or whatever you're being tempted by is a specific store, or someone that texts you, turn off your phone. Don't go to that store. Don't go to that gas station. Delete the account.
Come on.
You know what I mean? So
get off of social media.
Yeah. Come on. You know, and I was listening to, okay, I'm sorry, Michael Todd, I cannot remember the man's name.
Michael Todd.
And he's like, if you know that Reggie texts you at 11 o'clock and those are the sexting hours, turn off your phone. Turn off the phone.
Yeah.
Yes. Turn off the phone. Yeah. Make the choice. Surround yourself with supportive people that can back you up on that.
Right. Paul the Apostle called it, make no provision for the flesh. And it's a really important thing. And like, let's keep turning y'all to resources. Like, I feel like we're barely scratching the surface of all this, because there's so many different like aspects that we could go. But like,
for sure,
if anybody's struggling with that, and just since we brought up the phone with like porn addiction, there's a wonderful ministry, Covenant Eyes, that provides a way for you to like have monitoring on your phone with an accountability partner. It's a Christian ministry, so they also provide the why. They're giving like Bible study materials on overcoming temptation and they're in renewing your mind, and they've written some wonderful books, and all that stuff's free, but also for like little to no cost. Like if you can't pay for it but you still need it, they'll find a way to get it to you for free.
That's awesome.
This software that can go on your iPhone, your laptop, your whatever, where you can set it to block things if you want, but if you just want to set it where it sends what everything you see to an accountability partner, it does that.
Wow. That's really cool.
That's
don't
amazing.
Be doing nothing you
also you, like
that's amazing.
Along with that is like vulnerability, like be transparent with the people you trust around you, and like open up about what you're going through, what you may be struggling with, no matter what it is, because I think part of it is that we don't talk about these things enough with each other. And I know, like, even like with the relationship stuff, like recently I've had friends that I feel comfortable to come to with relationship stuff, because let's be honest, relationships aren't sunshine and rainbows all of the time. And like getting over that like thing of being like, well, everyone thinks we're such a good couple, and I just want them to only see like the good stuff. And like, it's so easy to have everyone thinking that you're a perfect couple.
I mean, I thought you guys were. What?
Yeah, this is news little to me. Little do you know. But like, be honest with each other, and like, and if somebody comes to you with that stuff, don't judge them, and don't just be a listening ear. And so I think it's important to have people around you trust to come to with whatever that looks like.
Right. Two things, if I could, really quick.
It better be really quick.
Okay, I'm sorry. Kind of based off what you said again, Connor. But first, to go off what Caitlin just said, I think that this may be a call to us as those who are the church, right, or pastors who are leading churches right now. And again, I'm just a 21-year-old ministry student trying to figure this whole thing out.
Amen.
But I think that we don't talk about sex enough in the church.
Amen.
And we don't talk about relations enough in the church. And that's not condemnation. That's just truth.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to start seeing, right, like, and Michael Todd talks about this, like you were saying, like, mm-hmm. if we don't talk about it, we're going to let culture define it for us.
Exactly.
And we need to tell people what the Bible has to say and the definitions that God gives mm-hmm. for sexual relations and for marriage and for relationships and stuff like that. So I think that we need to take the baton, in a sense, and be the ones who are not afraid to talk about it. It's awkward, it's messy, but it's absolutely necessary. But again, to kind of bring it full circle, I think, with everything that we're talking about, Connor, you pointed to this a couple minutes ago. Before you dive into a relationship with somebody, whether it's the biggie, right, like engagement and marriage and covenant, or it's just like this weird sort of dating, like boyfriend girlfriend thing, whatever. And it doesn't have to be weird, but all that to say that we if Caitlin, you're weird, but
you're weird.
She's not weird.
I'm
anyway,
weird as a byproduct of your weirdness.
Amen. Anyway, but what Kay just said, we are made in the image of God, and we need to really take the time to understand that and know what that means before we dive into a serious relationship with somebody, because I think there's also this stigma and this problem out there now that we just find our worth in people and not in Christ. And so, again, it's kind of already been said, but to reiterate that, it's so important to understand who you are and who Jesus says you are before you dive into a relationship with somebody else, if he's in fact calling you that.
Yeah. Well,
that has
let me go tonight.
And I still have to edit this. So here's the thing. We're going to link a bunch of these resources we've talked about.
Yes.
Check them out. Don't
call his personal phone number for you, Valentine sweethearts.
I got you.
Catch you on the flippity-flop.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all are all fired. Okay. I'm never bringing you back on.
She said, yay!
As always, thank you for listening to Theology Thursday. You can find old episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the Google Play Store, YouTube, and Podbean. You can send questions that you want us to answer on the show to theologythursdaypodcast@gmail.com, and you can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. We hope to have you back next Thursday.